Welcome to another episode of For the Culture. This is the soccer podcast for us, by us. You got me, the MC, Tony C, and the place to be.
What are you doing?
I went to Howard University.
Oh, my Lord. This man's off the cuff.
Hey, seems like a feels good to be back, you know, back on the scene. But this is my first time on this scene.
I know, right? Like, how you like it, man? Like, this looks pretty good, right?
It's nice. It's nice. Yeah. I got, you know, what is this? Velvet? Is this
right?
Velvet?
Right?
No.
Right?
No. No. The budget does not include velvet. No.
Damn. You know, did you get this off the corner?
No, IKEA. Well, yes and
yes.
No.
Technically.
Yep, yes and no.
It's right around the street, so yeah.
You know, Midtown Atlanta.
We got the hookup, man. But yeah,
is this Upper West Side? What was it?
We are technically Upper West Side.
I hate that. Yeah, I hate that title.
I know Berkeley Park.
I sounds hate so that title, white. Man. Nah, man, it's Bankhead, man.
You know they're about to gentrify the hell out of Bankhead.
Yeah, think.
It's oh, like yeah.
The second most busiest road in the whole metro.
Golly, man.
I'm still waiting for Bankhead Seafood to open up. To reopen.
For real.
They've been talking about that shit for like 4 years. It's going to reopen. It's going to reopen. You know Krispy Kreme about to reopen finally. Oh, yeah.
We made a promise.
Yeah. They did say that.
Shaq follows through.
Yeah, make it happen.
I'm going to need Tip and Killer Mike to come through. And speaking of Killer Mike, we got a special guest coming this week.
That's right.
We got the Coach Kevin Larry of the Jackson State University.
What's the symbol?
Who is he sponsored by?
What's the symbol?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Roger Jules. Yeah. 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 I actually know they were just here, what, Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday? Like, they were at the...
I mean, they're local.
Yeah.
Well, they both got houses in Atlanta.
And he got a barbershop around shot the street from my damn office. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
But, yeah, what's good with you, TK?
Man, stressed. Life is hard, but it's not about me.
But now we got a good show with you. Like I said, we got a good interview with Kev. It's great to have him on. But we're not even gonna kill a whole lot of time today. But there was one thing on my mind today that I was like, we have to talk about
FIFA.
And it's with this damn announcement with FIFA for the 2030 World Cup. What's gonna happen here is that, because like, of course, once you come in here in 2026, you have USA, Canada, Mexico. Three hosts, right? Mm. I don't know if FIFA just said, I want to pimp your ride and say, I'm going to double that. And we're going to have six hosts for the 2030 World Cup, which is the centennial, the 100th anniversary of the World Cup. The primary host is going to be Morocco, Spain, Portugal. Sounds pretty simple, right? Because they're all right there in the part of the Mediterranean.
Great travel experience.
Yeah.
I'll sign up for that.
Yeah, but...
Can I cover that?
But first, the first three games are going to be all the way over across the way in South America between Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. Just because those were the original hosts of the first World Cup in 1930. Now, if you're a team who has to qualify for the World Cup and has to play one of those first games in South America, how are you feeling about this, Tony?
Oh, it was absolutely horrible. I mean, the travel experience is going to be horrible. What are we even going to see with 2026 when it's here in North America?
The visa people are going to be like, it could be exhausting.
But like, just like we already know the big issues with MLS. That everybody talks, the biggest issue is travel.
Right.
Right. So when you're talking about all these cross-continent trips, then you're talking about crossing water.
Uh-huh. Cross Atlantic.
In the same tournament.
The first transatlantic exactly. World Cup.
There it is.
The fact that we're taking the human element out of this, uh-huh. You know, that clearly states is purely a financial pool for this. Like we all know that. That's the thing we already know. There's all the documentaries, there's all the Netflix series and all that stuff. We already know this is a money grab. There's no doubt about that. But at what point do we lose the quality of the product of the game where you're talking about players dealing with jet lag that's like they're going on cross Atlantic trips,
yeah, for a tournament.
Like, how do you train for that?
For a tournament,
because keep in mind, y'all, course, the World Cup is going to be back in this normal time in June and July. And so in Spain and Morocco and Portugal, it's going to be summertime. Down in Argentina and Paraguay, it's going to be the winter. So you're going to have to prepare for possibly two different climates and obviously two different elevation levels. Like, nothing about this seems practical at all. And I love the line that our man Felipe Cardenas from The Athletic, Atlanta guy, said that FIFA is the parent who should have figured out the reward system between two spoiled children, because you got South America that wants the World Cup, you have Europe that wants the World Cup, and somehow Africa got thrown up in this and said, hey, what about us? So, yeah.
Oh, Morocco's in Africa?
That's what I heard.
I honestly think they only gave it to Morocco as a result of their men's progress in the
World Cup. They've been trying to host a couple World Cups, like
they
because they were up for the recent Women's World Cup that just ended in Australia and New Zealand. They made a bid for that one. I want to say they put in for a World Cup, Men's World Cup, either in 2014 or 2018. I'm not sure, but they've been trying and they've gotten close. But I guess this is their way to say, okay, fine, take it.
How many teams are we going to have in this one? Like 80? How many teams?
Honestly,
is it 42, 46?
It's supposed to be 48 for 2026. Now, knowing FIFA, they'll probably see all the success from what's going to happen in 2026 and say, hey, let's see if we get this 64. Let's see if we can do that. Let's do the NCAA tournament.
I think that's Thanos' inevitability.
Like that.
Then it makes a little bit more sense. They could probably push the agenda to have this true transcontinental Atlantic tournament.
I got a question for both of y'all. Because we keep hearing about all these mega tournaments and all this traveling. Because, like, you know, MLS tried to merge something with the Liga MX. Of course, they just had the League's Cup. And now you have FIFA talking about transatlantic World Cups. Did we miss the memo on teleportation?
It's coming. I mean, sooner or later, because AI is about to take over everything and going to solve all of our issues.
So. Yes.
Well, most of them. But for the lazy ones. You either become the machine or the programmer, or you become what it serves.
No, I mean, I think there's definitely going to get a breaking point for this. There's going to be a breaking point where there's going to be almost a unionized situation of players, associations, and FIFA Pro or whatever. I mean, I think there's going to be at some point where there's a pushback, because we already know the toll that club schedules are already taking on teams, and the travel with that, with all the multiple tournaments that they're playing if they're successful. So at some point, there's got to come a point in time where players are like, yo, like the thought and idea of this tournament, it sounds great on if you're playing EAFC.
It's not. Just drop.
It sounds great if you're playing the video game.
Right.
But when you talk about executing the human factor, this again, I mean, these players, they want to have some sense of, like, practicality.
We just seen that just recently in MLS alone, like, you've had players and coaches talk about issues with all the schedule load of games, just how they're just exhausted. And now you're going to add even more travel to that, because you got Club World Cups coming, you got the Copa America coming next year, the Olympics coming next year, and it just doesn't stop. And at some point, you have to wonder, like, do these executives and organizers, do they like the players? Like, you got to understand, like, they're only human.
Yeah, that's what.
Contrary to popular belief, they are just human.
Yeah, and I think at some point we're going to see a watered down effect and not great games and all that. I mean, because players are not going to be there's a point where you can only be tuned in so much as an athlete.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, the quality of play is going to suffer as well, too. But at the end of the day, like, it's so funny. Like, the great thing is, like, here we are I hate this, y'all know me, the old man on the couch type of thing, like where I'm always saying, like back when I was
couch
a kid,
is over here.
I'm sorry, yeah, I don't want to be on the casting couch. y'all take me out of that.
Hey.
No, but you know, in the old days, we were really like begging to be for some consumption of the game, as many games, and see as many games and things like that. And it's like these execs and FIFA and all these other, you know, governing bodies have just ran with that because of the dollar signs, and it's clearly that play. But at the same time, it's like there is a, you know, the pun of at what cost, and this is really coming at the cost of the human element, and also the fact of, like, I myself as a fan can't keep up with how much is going on.
It's a lot.
I can't keep
up. Just watching the Champions League games today, I was like, yo, it's like, you love the fact that there's that much, but at the same time, it's still just so much.
Yeah.
And like, what you think, TK?
It is a lot to digest. There's certainly like some barren periods where I feel like we're kind of like desperate for footy, but in the current climate, yeah, we're pretty packed, and I think we've said this maybe two or three times over now. Like, FIFA is just gonna like continue to add tournaments or rename tournaments, and like it's getting to the point where we're playing year long at this point in whatever capacity, be it season with your club team. Then if you're lucky enough to play for the international side, yeah, like you're looking at the stress and demands of meeting all those call-ups, potentially those camps, those trainings in between. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot. Oh, and then by the way, you might have a family, like,
oh, that little thing,
like people that like you chill with, that, you know, like you made humans or something. I don't know, like whatever. It could be a thing.
Humans.
Some people are like 25 and don't have family, but honestly, this new generation of footballers. Like, I was totally shocked when I realized Raheem Sterling had, like,
four kids
or something like that, three or four kids. And this was, like, at Liverpool, bro.
Yeah.
Before City, you know, like, I was like, oh, man's out in the streets. Or, I mean, not really, but, you know, so. Like, so whatever.
He's in
you
them sheets.
He's populating the community.
Man is in them sheets. You're absolutely
right. He's populating the nation. But, no, it's one of those things where, also, I find it very ironic, especially given that, of course, we still live in the age of Messi and Mr. Seven, that by the time 2030 comes around, they'll be, like, just, like, yeah, it's too old for me. Of course, you never know with Mr. Seven, because he'll probably be pushing 50 and still try to make the World Cup. But
he could freeze himself for two or three years.
He probably already is,
you know? Like,
He's worked out the science.
That'd be like the perfect plan if Cristiano Ronaldo disappeared for two to
Where'd
three years.
Where'd he go?
And then, like, came back, trained for, like, 6 months to a year.
Your lasers and 3D scares me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to stay 47 for two more years.
Oh,
or
man,
whatever.
But
how old is this guy?
But
47.
One last thing. One last thing to kind of as a follow-up from this past Wednesday's show with me and Callie from Dreaming of Freedom. Which thing is going to cost more? The ticket for 2030 or Miami season tickets?
I think it's stupid.
What year Miami? 2025? Zinger.
Stupid.
I mean,
or 2026, really.
Again, 2026.
Where is definite, for sure.
Whenever they get to the new stadium.
Well, beyond that, though, like the contract. Like, will he be in the grandstand?
I can't imagine that the Inter would let him go before the stadium opens up. But I will say this, because me and Callie definitely got into it while recording, because actually it's just absolutely crazy. You know, you want me to spend $30,000 to go to Fort Lauderdale, dog? Not Miami. Fort Lauderdale. Make that one make sense.
It's the product, man. It's the product.
It's an experience.
Yeah. Tell that to all the Braves
it's
fans.
Experience.
Like, there's an American businessman of some sport who probably was to say baseball for this reference would be like, I've got this proofed. Look at Cobb County.
See.
I mean, to be fair, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate, you know, like.
I mean, that's kind of what we were getting at is that, and this is why I keep saying there's a perfect opportunity for there to be at least two teams in Miami, because you're going to have one team enter Miami that's going to easily cater towards the upper class, the
LAFC,
the people who want to chase the clout and everything, mm-hmm. and then you have the people from Little Havana, Opa-locka.
So, okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because my whole Messi impact experience that I was hoping was going to be different than the Pele
mm-hmm.
effect of when he was with the Cosmos touring the States and everything like that.
At least he showed up.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think Pele, as far as like the impact of the game within the States, where he missed is that he did not ever travel to the hood and the ghetto and have programs directly impacted yep. where he showed face and foot in that
representation
areas.
Yep.
And I was hoping that we would see that with Messi, that he's going to the hoods of Houston,
right?
You know, or the hoods of LA. Yeah, the hood, like, is recognized that he got little Hispanic kids that are like doing the same thing that he did mm-hmm. growing up.
Go to Tucker and Clarkston. Yeah.
So I was hoping and thinking that, like, you know, because Messi is a humble dude, yeah. right? That's the reason why a lot of people think he's better than Ronaldo, because he's like, oh, he's more human.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo's more superhuman type of thing. But I was hoping, and I'm still kind of evaluating, stepping back and seeing, like, how this pans out.
The way that he's been handled is just very odd to me, because, like, he's hardly done any media.
Well, that's how he operates.
Yeah.
That's so how weird. He is as a person. But I was hoping that, you know, he does, because obviously he's a father himself, and he's very connected with his kids and, you know, all that. I was hoping that he was like, all right, I gotta have, there's something that's bigger than me, more than just the money, and more than just my kids.
Right.
And I was kind of seeing that a little bit, I thought, but
yeah,
I'm still waiting to see how this narrative yeah. turns out. You know.
Yeah, I'm hoping that between, you know, now, because of course they still haven't announced that he's really injured for real, and next year that, you know, he gets a good feel of what this country is about and says, hey, this is where I can contribute. You know, like, so we'll...
So what's bigger on, you know, the headline? Taylor Swift in the stands or Messi appearing at a game?
I'm trying to get Coach Tony to a game. Like I said, I'm trying to get you to a point where we got to get these deals coming. We got, and when you go to a game, we cut the camera to you 17 times during the whole game. Be like, hey.
I mean, I was on the field. You know? I was on the Jumbotron, you know what I'm saying?
Have you been on the Jumbotron before, bro? I have not. I can't say I have.
Yeah.
How about you, TK?
Zero times, but I've watched him from my house and from the stands on the Jumbotron. So it's multiple times that this has occurred.
Yeah, as we said, the price has gone up, y'all. The price has gone up.
Yo, that's the title of Wednesday's episode, Yesterday's Price. And yeah, it listen, it's just like that. But without going any further, of course, again, we got a great interview with Coach Kevin Larry from the Jackson State.
The
I love.
The Coach Kevin Larry.
Yes.
Put respect on the name.
I will.
From the
future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, what? I don't know. But
but yes, you got a good interview with Coach. Good chat with him. We'll be back on the flip. Wrap the show up. But yeah, and enjoy this. We'll be right back.
Yo, Tony, I think we got a guest on the show, man. Tell us about it.
I don't think. I know. We got a special guest, friend of the program. He has been a long time buddy of the show, but more importantly, this man has been having some major inroads within HBCU soccer front. I don't know if I have to do any more of a bio or intro, but give it up for Killer Mike. Y'all know Killer Mike was a coach in the HBCU game. My bad. In all realness, it's our homeboy, Kevin Larry, friend of the program. Kevin Larry, what's up, my brother?
No. It's not Kevin Larry. You know my name. Don't start off like that. Come on, Tony. You know my name. Put my title on there. If the head coach of Jackson State was doing an interview, you would call him Dr. Ted Flogaitis. So I need my proper title, man. Don't do me like that. Don't do me.
I was just going to give you the title Future Hall of Fame coach, because really you don't subscribe to one institution, to be honest. If you really want to say so, I want to introduce my friend, Future Hall of Fame coach, the
Now Kevin. We can get started.
Glad to have you on, man. Glad to have you back, man. It's been a minute, man. How you feeling?
What'd you say?
It's been a minute, man. So how you been?
I know. I've been good, man. Thanks for having me. I got to be honest with you, man. I'm a little disgruntled, man. If I was Kadani, man, y'all wouldn't have been late if I was Kadani, man. So I feel some type of way, bro. If I was Shaka from Michigan, y'all wouldn't have been late.
Oh, here you go. See, nah. Don't you do that.
No, man. Thanks for having me, man. How y'all been doing, bro?
Hey, we're kicking it, man. It's been a good day in the A. Glad to have you on. Been trying to get you on for a minute, man. I know, of course, things been going pretty well for you at the Jackson State University. Yeah. And you have some things to talk about. We want to get you on.
Well, you know, man, you know, I left Alcorn in December of last year, and you know, I left Jackson State when I went to Alcorn in good standing, and you know, I kept a good relationship with the head coach, and the athletic director has been a real advocate for me, and that's helping me get the job at Alcorn. And when it was time to come back, man, I talked to him. I said, hey man, I want to come back, but you know what you got to do. So, you know, me coming back, Deion left, and here I am. So, I'm just joking. I came back in May, man. It's been a good situation. And, you know, I felt like I never left when I came back, man. The players welcomed me, administration, the coaching staff, everybody, you know, welcomed me open arms. So, it felt like I was at home again, man. So, it's a good situation, man. I'm grateful to be back. The players are great. You know, me and the coach have a good rapport. So, you know, we just picked up where we left off.
All right. So I got to ask you, because obviously I saw you in the coaches convention in Philly back in January.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look disgruntled. That's an understatement to say. So what was going through your mindset at the time back in January?
January, man. Man, if I could just be candid, man, and real, you know, my previous situation was a stressful situation, man, and I just don't think, you know, I earned every penny at that job, man, and part of me didn't feel appreciated. I may have left anyway, but you know, to be unceremoniously relieved of my duties after all I did for, you know, the program, I felt some type of way. I can't lie to you. And, you know, just, you know, I ain't going to say too much because, you know, some people here at Jackson State that's friends with some of the people that were at Alcorn. So I ain't never been shy about speaking my mind, but I don't want to put them in a position where they got to defend some of them folks. But let's just be clear, you know, I don't mess with some of them folks and they don't mess with me. So, but, you know, my assistant took over at Alcorn, and it's a tough job, but I think she's gonna be okay in the long run. But I was just frustrated, Tony, man. It's to be called in the office after you had one of the best years in school history, and being told they're gonna go a different direction, and I was about a minute and a half away from advancing in the tournament for the first time in school history. I just didn't feel appreciated, man. And you know, So it was just carrying over from that conversation I had in December. So that's that look I had on my face in January was just a carryover from a December 8 conversation I had with the AD.
So I'm curious as to, you know, basically you did a kind of like a hopscotch or whatever, but you still have a pulse on what's going on with the conference as a whole. What is your projection as a conference as you feel like the recruiting levels, the fact that like there's more obviously eyes on the SWAC and also the fact that like, you know, obviously Jackson State got a lot of, you know, pub because of Deion's influence, but do you feel like there's any shifts of more talent coming to play to the SWAC, or do you still feel like it's just, it is what it is type of thing?
Well, we can't ignore the elephant in the room. Deion brought a lot of notoriety and publicity to the SWAC before he left. And with that came an influx of players and kids that would have traditionally maybe have gone to some PWIs, but they were intrigued by the atmosphere and they inquired about what went on at HBCUs. And then we started to get some of those players, and the transfer portal helped out as well. So the recruiting is getting better. You can tell because, you know, teams in our conference like Grambling and Southern, even Arkansas Pine Bluff, they're beating teams, mid-major teams that traditionally we would have lost to or gotten blown out to. So it's starting to be a shift. You know, the talent's getting better. We're starting to get players from, you know, clubs like Top Hat and some of the bigger, you know, ECNL clubs in the country. And, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. So, you know, it is a shift in, you know, some of the things that go on here. So I can honestly say that competitively, we're on the heels of some of those bigger PWI schools.
Do you think the fact that, like, obviously with HBCUs, like, you know, obviously being a black college, but we know that, like, so many teams are starting to have these international players. And when I say international, I don't mean, like, black international. I mean, like, you know, from South America, Central America, and everything like that. Do you see that trend happening even more? Or, what are your thoughts on that aspect of HBCU?
I don't know if it's happening more. Of course, we get a lot of Canadians. And, you know, recruiting is an art, man. So, to, you know, in some essence, though, some of those kids you're talking about from South America and Central America, they just want an opportunity. They don't give a damn the Allcorn in the middle of nowhere. They don't care about some of the location of these places. They just want to play. And if you give them an opportunity, you give them the money they need in order to go to the institution, get an education, and play soccer, they'll come, you know? So it depends on your ability to sell the university or yourself. And, you know, with that, you know, players – are starting to like enter the transfer portal when they go to schools that are maybe wasn't what they thought initially. Then they do the research and look around and see maybe I can go to the SWAC and be a big fish in a small pond. So yeah, we are getting some of those players, but I don't know if it's a situation where, you know, a lot of these kids are coming because their situation at the previous school or is dire, but some kids just want an opportunity, man. So that's how I look at it.
What would you say, you know, you talk about the art of it, of the recruiting and everything like that, and the fact that the transfer portal is so much different than, let's say, 5-7 years ago. Do you hate it or love it?
Say hate it or love what? I missed the first part.
The transfer portal. Do you hate it or love it?
Being in the SWAC, I love it. I'm pretty sure a bigger school and a bigger conference, I hate it. But it's been a friend to us in the SWAC. When I was at the previous school, you know, I got a couple players out of the transfer portal that, you know, I otherwise wouldn't have been able to get, you know, if they hadn't entered the transfer portal, but straight out of high school or what have you. So transfer portal for the HBCUs has been good. But then also you get kids who, you know, they score one goal against the PWI and they think, well, maybe I need to be at UNC. And then they want to enter the transfer portal. So it's, you know, it go both ways, but I think it benefits us a little more than some of the other schools. I'm pretty sure some of the bigger schools, they don't like it, but, you know, we're in a different era, you know, instant gratification, man. If I don't get what I want right now, I'm going to go jump in the transfer portal. Or, if, you know, you don't say things the way I want to hear them, I'm going to go jump in the transfer portal. Or it's not Chick-fil-A down the street from your school, I'm going to jump in the transfer. They got a reason for everything to jump in the transfer portal, bro. So,
no.
You know how they go.
Okay. No, what I was saying was that, what do you do in those situations where like you said, like you're a player, a student athlete can pretty much have any reason they feel just to say, I want to go somewhere else. Like you said, like, okay, you know, here's your paperwork, or like do you try to dissuade them to stay, or what do you do?
Well, that's a question that would be different from different coaches. I don't want you to stay if you don't want to be here. So, you know, I'm not gonna beg you to be somewhere that you don't want to be, because you're gonna make my life miserable, you know. And at the same time, you know, I want to facilitate an environment where kids can thrive. And if I can't provide it, and you think you can go somewhere else and get that, then by all means, go. You know, see you. So, you know, no hard feelings, but no, I'm not trying to convince you to stay if you have your mind made up that you're going to go. So, like, for example, man, we have, in my opinion, the best defender in the conference. She transferred to Jackson State from Troy University, Tatum Terrell. She came here, her sister's here, and she was at Troy, and I hopefully she don't mind me saying this, but I don't know if her experience was the greatest at Troy, but she decided that she wanted to come, she wanted to leave, and, you know, she transferred to Jackson State, and she's thriving, and she's a standout. So, you know, it's not always bad when a kid decides they want to leave. Now, on the flip side, you may get a kid that decides that, you know, Jackson State is not going to put me on the platform that I need to shine, and they want to transfer. Again, for me, I'm not in charge in that aspect, but again, if a kid comes to me and expresses that they want to leave, then you know what? You know what I need to do to help you get where you want to go. Wish them best of luck, and if things don't work out, maybe it might be a situation they don't leave on bad time, they can come back. But at the same time, man, these kids are trying to, you know, live their dreams and get education and play college soccer, and I'm not going to be the one to step in the way of that.
Do you have any players who have NIL deals?
Yep, we do. We have a couple. I don't know the specifics of the NIL deal. I do know we have a couple. I think with energy drinks, some clothing apparel.
What's your thoughts of that for the student athletes currently these days and age?
My thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Hey, man. I'm not mad at them. If they could find a way to be compensated for, you know, by some of these companies and put some money in their pocket and not hurting anybody and they're not bringing any kind of bad light to the university and themselves, by all means, you know. Again, you know, I know we've heard this a million times, but these universities, I guess it's easier to see when it comes to football and basketball because those are such popular sports. But these universities make a lot of money off of student athletes, so why in return they can't get some in return?
Cool. I know you do, but that shouldn't be me, baby.
I'm just wondering, what's your deal? What sponsorship deal you got?
Man, I probably need one for these sunglasses I got on or something. I need a deal, man. Come on, man. Hey, man. I got a good idea. It's a watch. Maybe watches. And I can, you know, sponsor on y'all website so we can be on time and shit, you know.
All right. Speaking of, you know, NILs and watch stuff, you know, obviously Shador Sanders had his little thing in Colorado. Do you see the madness with someone saying that Colorado is like an HBCU?
Man, that's ignorant, man. I'm glad you brought it. That's very ignorant, man. I do not, you know, I don't even know the, I don't know the dude, but it's 40,000 kids at the University of Colorado, give or take. 1,500 of them are black. Man, stop with the foolishness, man. Come on, man. I mean, if you like Deion, you like Deion. I'm rooting for Deion like the next person, man. But to that's a slap in the face to the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into building HBCUs. Man, whoever that dude was that had that shirt on that went viral, he need to be elbowed in the throat, man.
Just because you see Apple Wu-Tang Clan on the sideline doesn't mean that the student body has just changed overnight. That takes years. That takes decades. That takes a whole lot of just we want you. And hopefully, you know, Coach Prime, he brings that in. But that's not going to come right now. That's we got to get some in first. Because yeah, that whole thing is just wild to me. That thing is
yeah, man. Crazy. I saw it the other day. Matter of fact, I was just talking about that this morning with one of my friends in Arizona, man. And you know, I don't like it. It just, man, I don't want to open up this can of worms, but I'm going to go there briefly. Man, when I say us, you know what I'm talking about. We just feel the need to be accepted so bad, man, that we'll do anything to be accepted, you know? So that's yeah. Part of it.
Is there a coach within the soccer realm that does have a prime effect? That you have seen.
Is there a coach in college soccer that has the prime effect?
It doesn't have to be college soccer, but
you're looking at him. Sweat. It pains sweat. I'm trying to inspire somebody, give somebody. Man, come on, man. What mean? No.
That the coach Kevin Larry is short on confidence.
I forgot who I was talking to. You know, I forgot that future Hall of Fame coach.
That's humbling to hear you say, man. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much longer. I love what I do. I'm confident in what I do. But you know, to say Hall of Fame, man, you got to be around a long time to be put in the Hall of Fame. So
I mean, you. You know, then you play back in the times when they, you know, had like the leather soccer balls where it was sewn up. Like, then you play back then? No.
Are you want to go there?
Am I mistaken? I mean, you look like you got a lot of years in your.
It's a family show. It's a family show. I ain't gonna go there. It's a family show.
Have you been associated with Jackson State?
I was down there one time, man. Then I woke up one day on my birthday last year. I'm saying they just got it. These young girls just got to accept me for who I am.
Exactly. Don't
I ain't dying no more.
Don't do it. So wait. Nah, I got a serious question. It's a serious question. Okay. All right, so you were in Atlanta, what, 2 months ago or something like that?
Yeah, I come to Atlanta all the time, man.
All the time.
Yeah, I was there this summer. You know, I worked Kadani's camp this summer, and I worked the camp in Rome, Georgia. But after the camp, I kicked it in the A for a few days before I went to Columbia.
All right. So so what's on your checklist of places to go to when you come to the A?
Oh, no comment.
Hey, it's not a family show.
No, I can't say that. It's a nice little Christian bookstore in the West End that I like to go to. No, man, what's a place I like to go when I'm in the A, man, that's PG?
He can't even think of one.
Papa Do's off Jimmy Cobb.
He's PG-13 and up.
I like Papa Do's off Jimmy Carter. That's one of the spots I like to go to. What else? It's the JR Cricket. What's that JR Cricket? It has a nice nightlife. It's a one in particular that I'm thinking about.
What's your wing order?
Lemon pepper wet, baby. Come on, man. I ain't from the A, but I be in the A. Of course. Okay. Fly hard. All flats.
I do have one question, because I think it was either you or Scott that took put money this. Brittany Renner was a former player at Jackson State.
Yes. Huh?
Brittany Renner.
Yeah, I got that part.
Former State player.
Mm-hmm.
How old was she?
So by all accounts, by people that know her from there, I wasn't around when she was around. She's from the coast. I've heard mixed reviews. I heard people say that, you know, no, it was at a time when Jackson State wasn't that good and she might have stood out. And I've heard other people say that she was a decent soccer player. But, you know, it's mixed reviews from people in, you know, associated with Jackson State that was here when she was around.
Did
I answer that politically correct?
Hey, so is there a Brittany Renner statue on campus or anything like that? No?
Yeah, one of my office right here. Hold on. Let me get to him. No, man. No, uh-uh. I think she came to campus when Dion was here, but I don't know if there's been any sightings of her, you know, any other time. But, you know, I'm not 100% sure, though. So I don't know a lot about it. All I know, you know, just the stuff that I see, like, that pops up on social media or what have you. So I don't know anything about the young lady.
Us too. So that's all we see. I've seen headlines. Just what social media shows us. Just for scrolling. All right, so it's the dad in me has got to ask this question, though. So it's almost Halloween time. All right, you got start one, bench one, and cut one. Starburst, Skittles, or what was the other one? Sour Patch Kids.
Start one, bench one, cut one.
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids. What's the other two?
Starburst and Skittles.
Okay. We're gonna cut Sour Patch Kids. We're gonna start Starburst and we're gonna bench Skittles.
What? Ugh. I'm gonna disagree with you, coach. I gotta disagree with you.
What?
I'm starting Skittles, man. Right out the bat, I'm starting Skittles. Especially purple bag Skittles.
Well, you asked me.
This is why we can't be on the same sideline. I'm just like, nah, man. We can't put her in the game, man. She's a liability.
Damn.
We can't be on the same sideline, man. We got philosophical differences.
What's some of your favorite hangouts in the A, man?
Oh, man, I'll be in that same Christian bookstore as you. They told me they see you. They were like, oh, you know Kevin Larry? Yeah. The Kevin Larry? Yes. Deacon Kevin Larry? Yeah, we hear you all the time.
Amen.
Deacon Larry. I'm like, yeah, that's my homeboy. That's my people.
Amen.
Hey, Kev, seriously, I stay my butt at home. I don't know. You see how the streets of Atlanta are popping nowadays? I stay
man, home. Atlanta. Let me tell you something, man. Atlanta. Ooh, Atlanta, I love Atlanta, man. Atlanta is one of my favorite cities that I've ever been to. Let me tell you something. It's only one other place that I've ever been to in my life with a higher influx of beautiful black women than Atlanta, and that's Salvador, Brazil. And Atlanta is second. You can go to rallies and find, like, damn, rallies?
Rallies.
For real.
Check is over here, man. Hey, Rally's one though that you can start throwing that name around a little bit.
Hey,
more
man, if I get NIL deals, yes, let's go. I'll take it.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
And I stand on it. Nothing compares to Brazil. Let's be clear.
You're right.
Am I right?
You're right.
Okay, but Atlanta is a close second. I've been to Costa Rica. Costa Rica is awesome. Been to Colombia.
Or you ain't wrong, is how they say it.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
I don't know. I can't comment. Can't comment.
Yes, you can.
I plead the fifth.
Scrolling.
I plead the fifth.
He is a reform.
I plead the fifth.
Reform beacon.
That's right. Matter of fact, I need to go read my Bible right now.
But nah, Coach, as always, it's great to chop it up with you. Hopefully we get a chance to catch you at another ID camp and see the future out there. Where can the people reach out to you with the program? We gotta drive all the future kids to the program.
So it's not Twitter anymore. What's it called now?
X.
The Kevin Larry underscore 10, I think that's my handle. Or, you know, the JSU soccer page is Go JSU W Soccer. So also, you know, log on to the Jackson State website and find my information. If you're a young player that's looking for opportunity and you have the potential to play at a Division I level for the best team in the conference, the current defending champions looking to repeat. So those are a few ways that you can find me, man.
All I know is that, I don't know if you've seen Memphis lately, but she need a scholarship offer pretty soon. Pretty soon.
Okay, how old is she?
She 8 going on 18.
Damn. They can use that all core. You saw what they did to Tougaloo a couple weeks ago.
Hey, come out. You need to come out and scout her, man.
Most definitely. When you going back, hey, man, tell you something, man. I love the game. I love the hustle. I do. So anytime I go out to the field and see somebody play, they can contribute and just be around the game. I'm there, bro.
All right,
I was gonna break out into my money making Mitch speech from Paid in Full, but
go ahead, do it, man. Go ahead.
I can do it. I was going to add me up some of this stuff to make it soccer friendly, man. But, you know, I love the game.
Go ahead.
Here you go. I love the game.
Get in the frame, though. I want you full set.
Get in the frame. Are you ready? All right. This is my acting. This is my monologue to see if Tyler Perry will give me a role in one of his movies.
Oh, Lord.
I love the game. I love the hustle. I be feeling like one of them Power Five coaches from the SEC or ACC, Kadani. Yeah, I can leave SWAC, but if I leave, the fans still gonna love me, man. I did Rondo, small sided games, finishing drills. You name it, I can coach it. I think that's my gift in life, you know.
Hey, man, let's go, baby.
Let's go. One day.
That's a great scene. Did you ever seen the movie?
It's cool about rip your headshot for the cover photo. I got to rip your headshot for the cover photo.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I gotta get your permission first. Get
the mother gets that like
sign out on first.
Hey man, that was perfect. It only took one take. You know, I know you were born for that moment.
I've been waiting to do that, man.
Coach Kev,
man, I appreciate y'all, man. I really do. It's a great platform. I tune in all the time, man. I think one of my favorite episodes was Where My Dog's At.
Hey, look and see, he's a fan of the program, man.
I appreciate that.
Fan of the program.
Hey, man.
Hey,
I got a question for you, Tony. Before I let y'all go, I don't know. I can't remember the details, but the first time I was on the podcast. Didn't we have a bet on something? I can't remember. I honestly don't remember what it was.
Ooh, you know what? I don't think he's lying.
I think we had a bet on something, man. I think you reneged on the bet because I think I did it. I think I like said I was gonna make the tournament at Alcorn or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but whatever it is, I think you reneged on it.
Do you recall this 100% cap, hey, or you playing
the audio?
This?
The audio is breaking up. I can't hear.
Don't disrespect me.
I can't hear.
Yeah. Chad, do you remember what this bet is, or are you pushing us?
I can't.
I honestly don't remember, but I remember being on the podcast for the first time, and I was going back, you know, I was feeling myself. I was going back and forth with Tony, but I do not remember what it was, but whatever it was, I know it happened, because I'm 100% sure it happened, but I just can't remember what it was.
We're going to proof this, all right? So when this comes out, when the cut comes out,
We're gonna run it back.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Yeah. Why y'all always bring up old shit? Y'all always bring up old shit. Why are we doing it? Y'all, we the future. The kids are our future. You know, we talking about.
Most definitely. Man, we got Alabama State this weekend. We got Alabama A&M this weekend. Hopefully both games will be live streamed. Make sure you tune in. Jackson State Women's Soccer, the 2022 SWAC champions, trying to go for the back-to-back champion and defend our title. We coming. So if you can support us, man, please do. I really appreciate you guys.
No, because you did what you did, I'm betting against y'all. Alabama A&M, I'm taking them 2-1 over y'all.
Man, you're going to lose your shirt. Better get that. You gonna lose your shit. Hey man, Jody is my guy, man. I love Jody, man, and he's a good dude, man. He's an ambassador for this league, man. But on BD,
I told you when I text you, bro. I got family ties there, man. I gotta go A&M over y'all. I'm standing on that.
You say Alabama A&M?
Whatever. Whatever the previous bet was, double or nothing.
Double or nothing. All right. So I'm going to pull back the record, Kevin. And then we're going to stack on Tony's double or nothing.
Alabama right? A&M so, on JSU.
Tony, I need you to look him dead in the face.
Look me in my eyes, say that.
On
what was it? October 9th?
8.
October 8th.
Camera B.
JSU versus Alabama A&M. I am stating that Alabama A&M will beat JSU 2-1.
2-1
first.
Stamped.
Okay. You stand on that.
Oh yeah, we do.
Oh man, I love it.
I agree with everything.
Yeah, I love how he's out of frame. I called it now.
Yeah. Hey, the culture stands on it. The culture stands on it.
And one of the buildings on the campus named after some of your relatives.
That's the name of my grandfather, baby.
Okay.
Call him.
Okay.
That's right. Wait. Speaking of which. That's right. Yeah.
That's what's up, man. So since you got family ties, instead of the 5-0, we'll only do 4-0.
I'm very polite.
Hey, no, nah, man. I'm just having a good time, man. They got the new coach, man. I ain't retracting. I think we're gonna win the game, but they got a new coach, Prince Boy. He's doing a great job, man. By all accounts, everybody that have played them said that once he gets it together, man, they're going to be dangerous. I know they got some good pieces because they have a few girls on the team that I tried to recruit. So he's going to be okay. So in all fairness, man, I'm just having fun, man. So I do expect a win, but at the same time, man, the dude doing a good job over there.
Well, what's to say that this game will not be where the turn happens. I'm just saying that's why we play the game, baby. That's why I play. You don't play it on paper. You play it on the pitch. Mm. Let's go. Let's go, A&M Bulldogs. Let's go.
Okay. It's your story. You can tell it however you want to, Tony.
it's always love when we get you on, man. Hopefully we don't wait as long next time to get you on, but yo, it's always dope when we get to you on, man. We appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, appreciate you guys, man. Keep doing your thing, man. Hopefully we cross paths here soon, man. I'll be in Atlanta sometime soon. I'll definitely look you up, Tony.
We will meet you in the bookstore.
Most definitely.
Hey, you're ready to read.
Have your favorite passage ready.
All right, have your favorite passage ready, okay?
You're ready to read.
He's going to give it. I got you. I'm there.
Thanks to Coach for pulling up and giving us all of his favorite bookstores. And, you know, hopefully, anytime that you come to Atlanta, you'll find your favorite bookstore around South Side, West Side, even sometimes downtown, you know, depending on what your taste is.
And what hour.
Yeah.
But, well, as long as they got flats.
But yes, the last time you saw us on video, of course, we were talking about the 404 kits, and I told you guys that we had something for these kits because, you know, just because, you know, we were bitching about it the last time we were here doesn't mean that we couldn't drip these junks out, and we did that. And so if you still need yours done before the end of the season, make sure you hit us up at ftcutd.com/shop. Hit us up for the 404 kits, or just hit us up for the new European kits. Have you seen the Black Roma kit?
It's kind of dope.
Yes.
It's kind of dope. I'm not going to lie.
I got something for that. I even hooked up Sky from Shea Butter FC. I hooked up a couple of her Tigres jerseys. Like I said, the shit keeps on coming. So whatever needs you get, or if you just want to rep the culture, the FTC shirts, we got some for you as well. Make sure you come through at ftcutd.com/shop. And let's see. I think we had a pretty good show. Let's wrap this up and two down. Get him, hey, Coach. I'm just glad you're here, man. I appreciate you coming through, man. I know the kids been working you, man. What you got, man?
Good job. I guess I'm gonna stay positive.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to state, stay positive. Well, I'm gonna have one down. The one down, I'm gonna go ahead and start. I apologize, TK. My bad, man.
No.
I'm gonna have one down. I just want to give a shout out to Morgan State community. There was a shooting that happened just as of Tuesday, and you know, the families that have been impacted by that. Hopefully, they are healing, and you know, that justice will be served and everything like that. But I just want to give a shout out to the HBCU family of Morgan State. So that's the down. The two ups. This past weekend, I was in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, for the U.S. Youth Soccer Grassroots Symposium. And this was basically a collective of organizations and governing bodies amongst the United States associations working on accessibility to the game of soccer. And just being in those experiences, meeting, you know, a lot of people and networking that who are trying to do better for the game. It's always great to be in that company and also being reconnected with many friends and associates within the space that I've met in other scenarios. But I had the privilege of presenting on the topic of transportation in soccer. I was also presenting with another guy named Tim Ryerson, who has an organization that's based in Maryland, Seattle, NorCal, Louisville, Bowling Green, Maryland. He has an organization called Get on the Bus. And he has basically made this national model of connecting kids to who are getting scholarship within their clubs, who have always had a tough time getting to practices and games. He has partnered with local schools to get those buses to get those kids to their games or practices, or have those games or practices at the game. So he's doing phenomenal work. And Tony Sane, he's a former national team player. He has his own foundation up in Minnesota. This man is not only making the game accessible, but he is literally doing housing wow. for wow. coaches within the program and other families as well, too. So, like, the brother's doing some amazing work up in Minnesota. And shout out to my fellow Howard Bison Booter, Mario Wimberly. He's up in Minnesota as well, too. He's been doing some major projects up there as well, too. So it was great to meet him for the first time. He literally graduated a year before I got to Howard. And so he and I have been following each other on socials, and then we finally got to meet up at this convention. So it was great to meet another Bison that's doing great work within the soccer community. And it's just, it's all love, you know. It's like, it's a great feeling to see that, like, we're not the only ones in the trenches. And there's hope. As much as we talk about the pay-to-play model and, you know, the stereotype of soccer moms and soccer dads in America, is great to see that other people are trying to chop at this lumber to make it more accessible. So that was a great experience. And then this last, you know, up for me is that y'all know where I am about my daughter. She's balling right now, y'all.
She got them hands. She got them hands.
She's balling right now. And what's even cooler, though, the great thing about this moment in time with her is that, you know, she's playing travel soccer. It's game work. She actually has a tournament in Tennessee in a couple weeks. We'll see. Y'all want to do a GoFundMe so I can see, you know what I'm saying?
Gotta get that older fans going, man.
I got some good feet too. They not ashy, y'all. My feet aren't ashy. I keep
them moisturized. 9 o'clock this morning.
I don't have bunions or anything like that. No corns or anything. No, but seriously, my mini-me, she's actually wanting to get better. She's wanting to train, and
she got that dog in her.
I never force it on her. Because obviously I've seen what the game does and the burnout, especially with girls, and especially girls of color within the game will burn out. And so, but the fact that, like, right now, at the age of 8, she wants to get better. And
Coach Kev, get that scholarship ready. Oh,
Jack State, better have that one already. Get signed. 14, get a sign.
Yeah, you saw that kid that debuted for Sacramento at 13 years old. Like, what were you doing at 13 years old, dog?
I feel attacked right now.
Oh, man.
No, we're not going to go down that road.
Well, the preteen was off limits.
Well, the road we will go down is TK's road. What you got, man?
Not too much, honestly. My son's first birthday is coming up, so big ups. Yeah, it's been pretty much 365 days on 2x fast forward, at least.
2x?
I would say 4x, because I have two kids, so it's really twice as much work. But yeah, my son's turning one. It'll be a good time to celebrate. Got some work stuff coming up here, and hopefully have less work stuff.
We got one union about ready to go back to work.
Man, yeah. Yeah, it's that. Then that's the crazy part. We've been in the strike for like 130 days or whatever, and it's like things have been super slow, super tough.
Yeah,
but it's like I'm still pretty crazy busy individually. And with, like, all the hats that I wear. But, yeah, now it's about to get stupid crazy. So, more the merrier. Let's make some money. Yeah, so catch me on set. And I don't think I have anything to complain about. If I do, I'll keep it to myself.
Cool. SAG after. Let's get that money.
Shout out Ahsoka for all those who...
First down, it's HBO, because y'all really canceled Winning Time. I need to understand why. And they ended the story with the Celtics winning the chip.
You can't end it with that story,
dude. Like,
and Sally Richardson did a hell of a job.
Well, they canceled the chip this year. I think they did a trade today.
I know. I'm talking about the show. You can't.
Reflex life. It's that thing that, you know.
Pump them Celtics.
It's poetry.
Pump them Celtics.
But shout out to Sally Richardson for doing it.
You were Celtics, man. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, the show was great. It's an absolute shame that show got canceled so soon ago. And of course, as a byproduct of the strikes, you know, with the writers and the actors, I don't know if this was a casualty of that. Hopefully, they find a new home elsewhere, because they were really making good shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's say Sally Richardson, I think she's even on Coda just saying, like, this is like probably her best work that she's ever done.
Yeah.
And it was so good. Like, the actors that they basically discovered, Quincy Isaiah.
For movement on the plays. Yeah, Norm Nixon's actual son.
Yeah.
Playing Norm Nixon.
Yeah, they had playing Larry Bird. I'm like, dude, who clones you, dog?
Did you, when you first started the series, you're like, dude playing Magic, you're like, eh. But then you grew into him, like, and you're like,
he captured the essence of what Magic is. I mean, obviously, there's not too many 6'9 guys from Michigan that are out there, but like, yeah, like, you know, the smile, the janky ass hairline, like they nailed it down so well. And regardless of what the real Lakers say, how much they said was bullshit and what wasn't, trust me, this was a good show. This was a very good show. I know Jeannie Buss said like she watched it just because they captured so much of her dad.
Yeah.
Like, this was that good of a show.
What was your favorite scene out of the series?
Oh.
Because this is excellent.
Actually, it was just from this past season. It was like just seeing Pat Riley really develop into being that coach. And I'm like, Adrian Bronner, like, he was a guy I was thinking that might not have it, but mm-hmm. he grew into it
as well, too.
And just seeing that dynamic between Pat Riley and Paul Westhead, and just seeing that clash, and then the clash between Westhead and Magic, I'm like, they were just getting to the tip of the iceberg. I'm like, could you at least got to the point where, and the point in the series where Magic had to cover his goatee, could we at least gotten there? Could we at least got to the sky hook in the garden? Like, bruh, the story was not over yet. Yeah, I'm usually down for a lot of HBO shows, but I'm like, y'all dropped the bag on this one, man. Like, I'm hurt. I'm gonna be hurt on this for a long time.
Can't tell.
Yeah.
yeah. I said the cut on this one could be a I'm hurt.
Okay, second down. I really want to see the actors get a deal done soon. Because again, like, we're missing out on a whole lot. Whether it's TV shows, talk shows, everything. Like, I'm glad that the writers got a really good deal done. And one of the big things on there that I saw was that they're pretty much, you can't AI their shit. So you got to go through them. So good on WGA for getting their deal done. Again, actors, SAG-AFTRA, pulling for you. For my actual ups, damn. again, HBCU soccer is something that's near and dear to our hearts, and hopefully, you know, whatever we can do to help out, just to rise, because of course, we've done this stuff in the past, you know, whether it be with Morehouse, Jackson State, Alcorn, Howard, wherever, like, whatever we can do to elevate, we got you on that. I'm running low on time. Like I said, I know it's past coach's bedtime, so I'm gonna cut it there. So yeah, if there's another up, I'll put it to you on the socials. Of course, conversations continues on the socials. FTC.
UTD.
You know, it's been a long time since we've actually been able to synchronize all this. I'm just glad that we have this. So like that'll be my last up.
Yeah.
So. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, FTC UTD Pod on TikTok. We actually are posting videos on there, believe it or not. So follow us on there as well. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, hopefully. The wig is in court right now, and it's the funniest shit ever. So if you're not keeping up with that, yeah, watch that. But yeah, I said, hopefully you enjoyed the interview with Coach Kev. Shout out to him, the Coach Kev. My bad.
Future Hall of Famer.
The future Hall of Famer.
But yeah, we'll be back pretty soon with the rest of the crew. And again, Coach is real. Coach is everywhere. Check out Coney's hat. We'll see y'all soon, and we out.
Hey, man.
We out.
Let's keep airing, man.
Yeah. No, that's a ball of hat. Shout out to the production, because what y'all don't know, BTS is... This is our first full attempt at a 3-camera shoot. So we got 2 PTZ cameras running, and then we got an iPhone 8 as the close-up
8?
Camera.
That's an 8?
It's an iPhone 8 as a close-up camera.
Jeez, and I thought
HDMI output to these guys right here in this frame right here. So Big ups on the production. We got 4 live shotgun mics, 2 up, 2 down. Yeah. we do these things intentionally. Intentionally. Cut it.
It's a wrap.
You want the honors?
What's up?
To cut it?
Oh, yeah.
Cut it.
I heard that one.
Oh.
Man. Oh, his top.
Oh, there we go.
Jeez and age.
All
right. Thank you, TK.
You did the thing.
FTC UTD.